One has written, Christians of all people ought to have the most positive outlook on life. The reason Christians should be positive is not that we are blissfully unaware of the pains of life, but in the midst of pain and confusion, we have a hope grounded in the promises of God. Aren't you glad for his promises this morning? In 2 Corinthians 1, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen, the so be it, is spoken by us to the glory of God. In 2 Peter 1, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Once more, aren't you glad for the promises of God today? It really is true. In the midst of any pain, in the midst of any confusion, we have a hope because we have his promises. It's not the message this morning, but I just tell you, if you're in pain, or if you have confusion, or any other kind of problem or trouble, listen to me, more than anything else, you need a promise from him. And I would tell you this morning, listen to me, if you have a promise from him, you have everything that you need. For a few weeks now, we have determined that for the coming year, and even for any and all other years to come, we will have the most positive outlook on life. Not because there's no trouble. We have no idea the trouble that awaits us this year. But it doesn't matter, the trouble. Not that we're blissfully unaware of the problems and pain of life. We have no idea the problems. We have no idea the pain that awaits us in the 11 months that remain of this year, 2021. But it doesn't matter, the problem. It doesn't matter, the pain. We will have the most positive outlook on life because we have this hope in this promise of God. Isaiah 33, the Lord is exalted, supremely esteemed, and very great. He will be the sure foundation for your times. He will keep your days stable and secure. He will be your safety. Because it's him, because it's the Lord that will do that for us, we have determined, I pray it for each and every one of us, dear brother, dear sister, let this be true of us. Let us each and every one commit and dedicate ourselves to this new life as a church. May we set our hearts on these things. We will know God. We will chase God. We will trust God. We will obey God. And this morning we conclude, we will serve God. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord seated on his throne, high and exalted. The heavenly hosts surrounding him called to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah's first response in verse 5, "Woe to me, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." But then his guilt is removed, his sin atoned for by the coal from God's altar. Isaiah then hears this, where first he heard the angels calling to one another about the Lord. Now he hears from the Lord. "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And this then Isaiah's response, always the servant's response. Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." One of the dictionary definitions of the word serve, it's to be of use. Simply put, to serve God is to make oneself useful to God. useful to his kingdom, useful for his kingdom, useful in the advancing and growing of his kingdom, useful in carrying out his kingdom plan, fulfilling his kingdom purposes, useful in establishing and furthering his kingdom way, useful in bringing people into his kingdom, useful in ministering and helping and encouraging and strengthening the people in his kingdom. That's what it is to serve God. It's to make oneself useful to God. It's to hear his voice. Who can I send? Who will go? Who can I send? Who's willing to go and speak my word to my people? Who can I send? Who's willing to go to preach the word about me and for me? The kingdom of God is destined to grow and to make a difference. That's what it is then to serve God. It's to hear his voice. Who can I send? Who's willing to go? Who's willing to make themselves useful? Who's going to help me make that kingdom destiny a reality? Who's going to go so that through them the kingdom does grow and does make a difference? It's the servant's heart that responds, here am I. God, send me. I'll go. I'll do it. I'll help. God's heart is for the lost. Not wanting any to perish, but rather all to know and to experience his eternal life. And so he calls, who will make themselves useful to me so that my will can be done? Who will go to the lost? How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him after all? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And so the call of God, who will tell someone so they can hear of him and believe in him so that they can ultimately be saved by him. And that's what it is to serve God. Who will go? I'll go. I'll go and tell the lost about you. I'll go and proclaim the good news that Jesus saves. God's heart is for people. He's compassionate and kind and gracious. He cares for the hurting, the lonely, the needy, the widowed, the orphan, the poor, the sick. He cares for the outcasts and the marginalized, the rejected and the dejected. He cares for the young. He cares for the old. He cares for you. He cares for me. He cares for everyone you know. He cares for everyone you don't know. Whatever the person, however you would describe them, however you would think of them, listen to me. God cares about them. And more than that, whatever the person, however you could and would describe them, however you would think of them, God not only cares about them, he not only cares about their every need, he wants to minister to them. He wants to meet their every need. God sets the lonely in families. He wants the widowed and the orphan to be cared for. He wants the poor to be provided for. He wants the sick healed. He wants the outcast and the marginalized to be accepted. He wants the rejected and dejected. He wants the young. He wants the old to be valued. He wants the sinner saved. He wants the backslider restored. He wants your needs and my needs to be met. This is what God wants. This is his will. This is his desire. This then his call. But who can I send to do that for me? Who will go to accomplish my will and fulfill my heart's desire throughout all the earth? And so to serve him then, here am I. I'll go. I'll go to the widowed. I'll go to the orphaned. I'll go to the sick. I'll go to the poor. God, here am I. Send me. I'll do it. You can do all you want to do in ministering to all you so deeply care for. Through me, I'll make myself useful to you so that your will can be done. The quote goes like this: I always wondered why somebody doesn't do something about that. And then I realized I'm somebody. Do you understand? To serve God, it's to see the need that makes you wonder why somebody doesn't do something about that. According to the International Labor Organization, 1.2 million children are trafficked every year. I wonder why somebody doesn't do something about that. Nearly 1 million babies are aborted every year. I wonder why somebody doesn't do something about that. Nearly 800,000 people die every year by suicide, depression being the main cause. That's one death every 40 seconds. It's the second leading cause of death for 15 to 24-year-olds. According to the Food Aid Foundation, 821 million people go to bed on an empty stomach each night. More than that, one in every three people suffer from some form of malnutrition. I wonder why somebody doesn't do something about all that. To serve God is to realize you're somebody. And so then, just like Isaiah, your willingness to step up and speak up. God, here am I. Send me. I'll do it. I'll make myself useful. I'll be the somebody that does something about that. The message this morning is simply this. The voice of the Lord is calling. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Do you hear him? Do you hear his voice today? The people he cares about that you know? They're in your circle of influence. They're in your circle of relationship because they're a part of your family, because they're your neighbor, because they're your colleague, they're your friend. You know them, and you know they're lonely, they're hurting, they're poor, they're hungry, they're sick, they're discouraged, they're lost, unsaved, and separated from God. They're needing help. Do you hear him? Do you hear his voice this morning? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The problems in our day, they're everywhere and they're huge. And your heart is both burdened and broken by them. Do you hear him? Do you hear his voice calling? Who will be the somebody that does something about that? The voice of the Lord is calling, so then the message this morning, you be an Isaiah. Here am I. Send me. Dear brother, dear sister, serve God. Serve him exclusively. In Joshua 24, we will read these memorable, often quoted, faith and family inspiring words from Joshua himself to the nation of Israel. You know them well. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Just prior, though, to that, Joshua had laid out for the people their choice. The full verse now. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think really we have to consider this as truth. No matter who you are in this room, no matter what season of life you find yourself in, there will always be something, maybe even a lot of somethings, that will bring you to a crossroads of decision, choosing who will you serve. Will you serve that or will you serve the Lord? There will always be something competing against your desire to step up and speak up. Lord, here am I. Lord, use me. Lord, send me. I'll go. I'll do it. There will always be something you'll have to reject in order to choose usefulness. As often as you would hear the voice of the Lord, whom shall I send? Who will go? You'll hear the voice of that thing, not you. You can't. You don't have time for that. You need to be doing this, not that. Can I say it this way then? We will all make a choice. We will all serve something. We will all serve someone. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. The Lord's message is clear. you can't serve God and that something or that someone else. You can't serve both. It's one or the other. And the language is even more severe than just a simple choice. You heard it as I read it. You can read it for yourself in Matthew 6. These are the words of Jesus. You'll hate, you won't just choose one over the other. You'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll despise the one and be devoted to the other. You have to choose this day whom you will serve. Listen to me. Choose today to serve God. Serve Him. Serve Him exclusively. How about this? Serve Him confidently. Confident that God wants you serving Him. Confident that He has a plan and purpose for your life, that you would serve Him. So often our thought, well, serving, that's their job. That's what somebody else does. That's not for me. I don't know enough about Jesus. I've not been long enough in my faith with Jesus. I'm not mature enough. I've got all this going on. This is my life. Serving God, not really a part of that. That's for people who have serving God as part of their life. But that's not true. Have a confidence that God wants you serving Him. Confident that He has a plan and purpose for you. That you would make yourself useful to Him. That you would answer His call. Lord, here am I. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's you. That's me. We are the we of Ephesians chapter 2. Have a confidence, a faith, a belief, a trust in that, that you are His workmanship. I just sense it. Someone, not me, Pastor. I know, Pastor, you're saying that because you're talking to all the church, but I know you don't mean me. I mean exactly you. You are His workmanship. And even before you ever lived for Him, God had prepared ways for you to serve Him. Serve Him confidently, knowing that. Be confident that He wants to use you, that He can use you, even you. In Judges chapter 3, one simple verse, we read of a man by the name of Shamgar. After Ehud came Shamgar, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. We could talk about all Shamgar didn't have. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a spear. He didn't have supernatural strength like Samson. He didn't have 300 men like Gideon. He didn't have a Deborah like Barak had. There's lots that Shamgar didn't have to fight. There's lots he didn't have to strike down 600 Philistines. But listen, it's not about what he didn't have. It's not about what you don't have. Isn't that where we get stuck? Well, I don't have the talent. Well, I don't have the intelligence. Well, I don't have the money. Well, I don't have this. I don't have that. So I can't do this. I can't do that. I would love to serve God. Pastor, I hear you this morning. I would love to answer the Lord's call, but I can't because I don't have. And then we fill in the blank. It's not about what you don't have. Listen to me, dear brother, dear sister. Stop cataloging all you don't have. Instead, have a confidence that God can use you with what you do have. The simple stick in your hand, God can use that. Do you understand this morning? What do you have? And if you're inclined to say, well, I only have a stick, well, you're good to go. Go and bring salvation to the nation. If the best you can put together, come on now, is five little stones, don't you know? You're good to go. Go slay some giants now. If the best you can come up with is five loaves and two fish, come on, you know it. You're good to go. Go feed the multitudes now. so often, but I can't because I don't have. I can't because I can't do this. And all along, God is saying this, but what do you have? Because I can do something great and mighty and miraculous through that, even if all you got is a stick in your hand. Have a confident faith in God that He wants to use you, that He will use you, that He can use you. You know the song, you've heard it. If you can use anyone, Lord, come on, it's true. Oh, then He can use me and He can use you. So confidently, be confident that He will use you. He wants to, He can, so He will. You step up, you speak up, here am I. God will hear you. God will take notice of that. You make yourself available to Him. You let Him know. You let Him see in you a desire and a dedication. Oh God, I want to be useful. And you will be, because He will use you. Be confident of that. How about this? Be confident that it's God that does the work through you. Be reminded of that. It's God that does the work. Listen, be free to serve God as you confidently consider this. It's not about you. It's not about your ability. Listen, I'm free. You're free to serve God in anything, in everything, because we don't have to filter our service through our ability. It's not about me. It's not about you, what you can do, what I can do, what we can't do. It's not about our strength. It's not about our experience. You serve, yes, you serve God by praying for the sick and witnessing to the lost, but you don't heal anyone. You don't save anyone. You serve, yes, but you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have the perfect argument. You don't need to be perfectly eloquent. You're the one serving, but it's God that's doing the work. And listen to me, I say that. No, I understand this. We want to be good stewards of our giftings. Listen. We want to be diligent. Let's go ahead and add it right here, even as we're speaking of a confidence that we can have in serving the Lord. Don't just serve Him confidently, serve Him excellently. Let's go ahead and say that. Listen, if you're going to do something for God, do it with excellence. And serving Him, don't ever be comfortable with the saying, it's good enough. Instead, don't ever stop until you can say, it's my best. I think of that, how so often that can become the expression of our service. Well, it's good enough. And yet we full well know we wouldn't accept that from anyone doing anything for us. The builder that builds your house, it's good enough? Oh no. You better get back in there and fix whatever you messed up, because I don't trust your it's good enough. I'm thinking of Dawn back there, the person that cuts your hair. It's good enough. It's not perfectly straight. It's good enough. No way. We wouldn't accept that. Our kids come to us with their homework. It's good enough. But you were supposed to have 2 pages. You've only got one. It's good enough. But you only did half the problems, not all the problems. It's good enough. It'll be fine. No way. We don't accept that. But so often, that's exactly what we're offering to God. We're offering Him our it's good enough instead of it's our best. Don't just serve Him confidently and excellently even. Serve Him wholeheartedly. Don't do things for God half-heartedly. Not ever. Don't give God your least and your leftovers and call it serving Him. Listen, though, even though it's not about us, we will always serve God excellently, wholeheartedly. But watch this. Even still, our confidence will never be in ourselves. Our confidence will not even be in our excellence or our wholehearted serving. Our confidence will be in Him. I would say it this way. I understand God gives gifts. We should know those. We should work freely in those. We should work well in those. If there was an opportunity to teach, and you know that teaching is a gift that God has given to you, We'd expect you to be first in line volunteering. Pastor, this is the gift God's given to me. I want to do it. I want to help. I want to serve. Here am I. I'll do it. There's a ministry serving the poor, and that resonated in your heart because that's a gift God has given to you to help, to minister. You have a patience. You have an organization. You have a heart that beats for the poor. I would expect you to be first in line. I understand all of that, but listen to me. If you're confident in what you can do because of a confidence in your ability, even in your God-given gifting, if your confidence is in that, I'm not sure how much God can use you. If you're so confident in what you can do that you don't realize how much you need Him, how much you need Him to do the work, to do His work, through your serving, yes, through your gifting for sure, through whatever it is that you're doing. But if you don't understand that He's the one that does the work, if your confidence isn't in Him, I'm not sure that you can really serve Him at all. If you have zero confidence in your ability to serve God in that thing, whatever that thing is, but you're 100% confident that it's God that does the work and that He can do that work through you, even through your inability, I would argue you then are the perfect candidate to be used by God. Way more so than the one who's 100% confident in their ability and all that will get done and happened because they are so capable. Do you understand? Serve Him confidently. Go and do what you and everyone else would say you can't do or shouldn't do. Go for it. Go do it. Be set free to serve God even in that thing. Confident that though you and everyone else might be right, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. You've never done that. But because it's God that does the work, you can serve Him there in that thing, and He can do His work through you there in that thing, whatever it happens to be. Serve God confidently. One more before we move on. Be confident that God wants you serving Him. He does. Be confident that He can use you, that He will use you. He can and He will. Be confident that He does the work. And He'll do His work, even the divine and miraculous, through you. And be confident that God will take care of you. Serving God is all about looking outside of ourselves. Maybe better to say it this way, we look past ourselves. We look past our pain, focus our attention on the pain in others. Here I am, Lord. Send me, I'll go, I'll be useful to You. Your will to bring healing and wholeness to them. We look past our loneliness. We look past our lack. We look past the discouragement and frustration we're experiencing. We look past the rejection and betrayal we face. We look outside ourselves. We look past ourselves by serving the people, all the people that God so dearly cares for. And it leaves us often asking the question, but what about me? But what about my pain? Pastor, you're telling me we've got to serve, we've got to help. But what about my need? But what about my frustration? But what about my situation, what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with? Can I share with you this morning? I don't know if you'll ever serve God like you could, even like you should, until you're able to answer that question with absolute assurance and complete confidence. I can serve God by serving others because I know, I am confident and fully persuaded that God will take care of me. I love this principle specifically seen in the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. How does a boy give up his lunch? All he has to eat. The only thing he has to eat. Except that he knows somehow, some way, Jesus will take care of him. How do hungry disciples who haven't had any food, no more than the crowds have had, remember, they come to Jesus, you got to send the people away because it's late, they've been here all day, surely they're hungry. You almost wonder if the interpretation of that, Jesus, you got to kick these people out. We're starving and it's time for us to get some food. How do they give their time? How do they give their entire day working to satisfy the hunger in others when they themselves are no doubt so hungry? How do they pass out the bread? And how do they pass out the fish? How do they give away what they so desperately need and want, except that they know somehow, some way, Jesus will take care of them? And you know the story. The boy gave away his 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and Jesus gave him a place at the buffet table, where the supply of bread and fish was endless. And the boy ate all that he possibly could until he was full and could eat no more. And the disciples, for them, come on, you know the story. For the 12 of them, 12 basketfuls that remained when everyone else had been served. Do you understand? You can be set free from your what about me question. Listen to me today. You need to be set free from it. You can't, you won't serve them like you could or you should until you are. Be set free today. Serve God with confidence, knowing that you can do that. You can give yourself completely to serving Him and serving others for Him, because He will take care of you. Serve Him faithfully, persistently, steadfastly. Jesus let nothing keep him from serving God, from finishing his work. The prophet Isaiah gives us this picture. Facing death, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. Listen, serve God like Jesus did. Let nothing stop you from serving him like that. Serve him faithfully. Listen, the question you need to be asking yourself is not how people will respond. So often, that's the question that we ask that determines whether we will serve or whether we won't serve. It's almost that we determine we will serve God conditionally. God, here I am. I'll go. I'll do it. I'll help. I'll serve as long as these conditions are met. I'll go and talk to my neighbor as long as you promise me they'll say yes to my invitation to come to church. I'll go talk to my neighbor as long as you promise me that they'll accept Jesus right there and I'll be able to pray the sinner's prayer with them. We jump ahead in the story. We've talked to them before. They said no. We figure they're just going to say no again. No, they don't want Jesus. No, they don't want to come to church with us. And so we back off. We shy away. But can I tell you this morning, how people respond or don't respond, that's not the question. The only question you need to be asking, am I being faithful? Am I serving God faithfully? Can I share that in the sense of how God works and how God responds? Sometimes we become hesitant in serving God because it seems that in the past God's let us down. We did our part, but God didn't do His. We sensed it in that moment. God wanted us to pray for that person who was experiencing pain in their body, and we did it, bold and courageous. We prayed the prayer of faith over them. I believe Jesus wants to heal you right now. In the name of Jesus, be healed. We did what we felt God was asking us to do. We said, here am I. I'll do it. I'll pray the prayer of faith. And they walked away still with that pain in their body, and now it's that all over again. We're not so worried now about what people are going to do or how they're going to respond. We're worried about how God will respond. Again, we're fine serving Him conditionally. God, I'll do it. Here am I. I'll go. I'll pray. As long as you promise me that you'll do exactly what I pray for. And if I pray for healing, they'll be healed. And if I pray provision for that unpaid bill that sits on their desk, you'll drop a check in the mailbox tomorrow for them. I'll do it. As long as the conditions are met. But can I share with you how people respond? It's not your concern. How God responds? That's not your concern. The only question, the only thing that you need to be asking yourselves, am I serving Him faithfully, consistently, steadfastly, persistently? How about this? Serve Him intentionally. Don't wait for the serving opportunity to happen. You make them happen. I was thinking of that in this context. Don't make serving God the secondary objective. Make it the first. Watch what that looks like. Let groceries be the secondary objective when you go to the store. Serving God the first. Let work be the secondary objective when you go in the morning. Serving God the first. Let the social stuff be the secondary objective when you get together with your friends. Serving God the first. Serve Him intentionally. How about this? Serve Him purposefully. Serve Him so that He would be glorified in and through you. In Matthew 5, let your light shine so they can see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. In 1 John, we get this stated purpose of the coming of the Lord. He came to destroy the works of the devil. In John 17, we read this, Jesus' prayer before He's to be crucified. Father, as You've sent Me to destroy the works of the devil, so I send My disciples into the world. I don't take them out of the world, but rather I send them into it so that they can do like I've done. They can go and destroy the works of the devil. Serve God with that purpose. Go and make that happen. Go and find and take full advantage of every opportunity to do that. To serve God by glorifying God and destroying the devil's work. Serve Him expectantly. I think all too often when it comes to serving God, we're asking all the wrong questions. Fear makes us to do that. What if I fail? What if I mess it all up? What if I'm no good at that? What if I don't do it right? What if it doesn't actually help anyone? What if it turns out to be nothing more than a waste of time for me and for even all I tried to help? I fear all too often. We don't just hear the voice of fear. We respond to it even over and above God's voice. We assume the worst in response to fear's questions, and so we remain silent while God continues to call. Who can I send? Who will go? Listen, serve God expectantly. Forget fear's questioning voice. How about listening to the voice of expectation? Questions that sound like this. What if God changes this person's life? What if He changes their destiny through this? What if this person is helped, encouraged, strengthened? What if God does a miracle? What if eternity is impacted? What if God is glorified and the devil's work destroyed? Don't underestimate the effect, the powerful effect of serving, of answering His call. Lord, here am I. I'll go. I'll serve. I'll do it. I'll make myself useful to You. Serve Him expectantly. Serve Him joyfully. Don't serve Him because you feel Him to be a threat to you if you don't. Don't serve Him because you simply consider Him the one who has the authority and the power to come get you and cause you trouble, bring trouble on you if you don't serve Him. In the words of the psalmist, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him with joy. Joyfully serve Him. Serve Him constantly. Don't get distracted. Don't lose focus. Listen, there's nothing about your circumstances. Listen to me, dear brother. I don't make light of your circumstances this morning. I don't make light of what you're going through, but you have to hear me today. There's nothing about your circumstances. There's nothing about what's happening around us. There's nothing that changes this. People still need help. God's people still need to be built up, strengthened, and encouraged. The poor still need the good news preached to them. The brokenhearted still need to be comforted. The prisoner and the captive need to be set free. Those that mourn need to know they can exchange their ashes for a crown of beauty. Their mourning for the oil of gladness. Their spirit of despair and heaviness for one of praise. Nothing changes this. Lost people still need salvation. This devil's work still needs to be destroyed, and God deserves still to be glorified. Nothing changes that. But Pastor, I'm going through all kinds of trouble. It doesn't change the fact that people still need Jesus. God needs to be glorified, and the devil's work destroyed as you go. No matter what's going on, there will always be the opportunity to serve God. So serve Him constantly. I think of that related to this last year. No pandemic changed this. No pandemic silenced God. He was still calling. Who will go? Who can I send? Who'll help? Who'll serve? The question, with all that was going on, were we too distracted to hear his voice? Most of all, were we too distracted to respond to his voice? But there's a pandemic. But my job in jeopardy. But what am I going to do? But family, but safety, but security. All the things. Were we too distracted? Did we not hear him? Did we not hear his call? Were we not able to respond to it? Regardless what you're going through. Regardless what's happening in the world around us. Regardless the trouble. Regardless the problem. Listen to me. Even the pain, even the frustration, the stress, the worry, the fear you feel because of it, there's always going to be the opportunity for you to make yourself useful to God. So serve him constantly. Serve him selflessly. No selfish agenda, no selfish motivation, no selfish pursuit of fame or recognition. Serve him selflessly. And on the list could go this morning. Listen, simply to leave us where we began. The voice of the Lord is calling. Whom shall I send? Who will go? Who will be the somebody that does something? The message this morning, listen for his voice. Hear his call. And I pray that in each and every one of us, even within this church as a whole, there would be a spirit of Isaiah that would rise within us. Lord, here am I. I'll go. I'll do it. I'll serve. Lord, here am I. I want to be useful to you. Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, here am I. Use me. Lord, here am I. I will serve you exclusively, expectantly, confidently, and constantly, faithfully, intentionally, and purposefully, selflessly, and joyfully. I will serve. Lord, here am I. I will serve you like Jesus did. This morning, as we conclude our series, let me leave you with this. Know God. Daniel chapter 11, the people who know their God shall be strong and do great things. I don't know what's in store for you the remaining 11 months of this year, but according to God's word, because you set your heart to knowing him on the authority of his word, I say to you, listen to me. You will be strong and you will do great things. Chase God. Psalm 34, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I don't know what's in store for you in 2021. I do know this. According to God's word, because you've set your heart to chasing him, listen to me. On the authority of his word, I say it to you. You will lack no good thing. Listen to me. Is his word true or is it not true? His word is true. Seek him, chase him, and you will lack no good thing. He says so. He says that. Trust God. Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Listen, this year, maybe already there's been some heat. Maybe for the year to come, there's going to come some heat. Maybe you find yourself in a drought right now. Maybe there's a drought in store for you, but listen to me. According to God's word, because you've set your heart to trusting him, on the authority of his word, I say to you, you will not fear, no matter the heat, no matter the drought. You will flourish in the midst of it all. You will bear fruit through it all. Obey God. Blessed is the one who obeys the law of the Lord. He doesn't follow the advice of evil people. He doesn't make a habit of doing what sinners do. He doesn't join those who make fun of the Lord and his law. Instead, he delights in doing everything God wants him to do. Day and night, he's always meditating on God's laws, thinking about ways to follow him more closely. He's like a tree planted near a stream of water. It always bears fruit at the right time. Its leaves don't dry up. and whatever he does prospers. You know where we're headed this morning. Listen, this is true. Some of us might have to reevaluate our definition of prosper. Some of us might have to take our American culture out of our definition of prosper. Some of us might have to first realign and bring into alignment our definition with God's. But listen to me, his word is true. Always. I don't know what the year holds for you, but as you set your heart to obeying him on the authority of his word, I say to you, no matter what comes, whatever you do will prosper. One translation says it this way: everything godly people do turns out well. Another says, those people succeed in everything they do. Serve God. In John chapter 12, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. I don't know what's to come for us, but I do know this, according to God's word, you set your heart on serving him, you will be where Jesus is. No matter what you go through, no matter where you end up, you will be where he is. He will be then where you are. I was thinking of that and preparing for the message. Just a sense of the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me. Denny, as you serve me tomorrow in preaching my word, this promise for you, I'll be there. Doesn't matter how many people are there. Doesn't matter what it looks like by way of what happens. Does everybody come to the altar? Does nobody go to the altar? Does somebody get saved? Does nobody get saved? Is there great miracles? Is there great outpouring of your spirit? Yes, great for all of those things. We want those things. We pray for those things. But there was just a calm assurance that came to my spirit. I'll be there. Because that's the promise of his word. As you serve him, can I tell you? Lots of places, because he's always present everywhere we are. He's there. But can I tell you exactly? I know where he's going to be. Jesus on February 15th is going to be here at this place. Not here. He's going to be out in the parking lot. And if you want to see him, come on and be a part. Because this is his word from John 12, that as we serve him, we are where he is. He is where we are. And listen, no matter what comes, on the authority of his word, I tell you today, I say to you, as you commit to serving God, your Father will honor you. More than just that. Matthew 24, are you a wise and faithful servant? Blessings on you. If I return and find you faithfully doing your work. Behold, Revelation 22, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. He's coming. Church, listen to me. He's coming. He's coming soon, and he's bringing his reward with him. Be then the wise and faithful servant. Let him find you serving him. And on the authority of his word, I say to you, no matter what comes, you will experience his reward. And when he comes, you will get his reward. Simply put, and one last time, finishing it all where we started it all. Know God, chase God, trust God, obey God, serve God, because he's exalted, very great, supremely esteemed, and he will be the sure foundation of your times. He will be your safety. He will keep your days stable and secure. Father, we stand today on the hope that is your promise. And God, this Sunday, this last Sunday of this first month, this last Sunday in this little series that we've been in, Father, once more today, we commit ourselves. We will know you, chase you, trust and obey you. And today, this morning, we determine that, God, we will serve you. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, and I pray for this church that it's all that more than it's ever been before. Have we known you before? Sure we have, but we're going to know you like we've never known before. Have we chased after you? Sure we have, but we're going to chase after you. We're going to seek your face like we never have before. Trust and obey you, serve you. God, I pray this year of 2021 is a year where this church does more than it's ever done before in serving you. I pray that we as a people do more than we've ever done in serving one another as an expression of our service to you, in serving the lost in this community, in serving that high school, in serving that middle school, in serving the poor, the sick, the needy, the widow, the orphan. I pray that we do more than we've ever done before as an expression of serving you. And God, I believe it. We believe today in your word. No wonder there's a hope that rises within us. Will there be trouble? Sure, there will be. Will there be problems? No doubt there's already been problems. But we stand upon your word as we know you, chase you, trust and obey you, as we serve you. Oh God, you will be the sure foundation for us. And you will keep us safe and secure, and you will be for us our stability. I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just take a moment? And I want to invite you and I want to encourage you that you would today, in your own way, that you would echo the words of Isaiah. You don't have to say it out loud. You can let it be in your heart and in your mind. But this morning, as you're so led and as you're so prompted, and I pray, listen, church, I'm just going to say it the way it is. It ought to be every single one of us in the room. I'm seriously concerned if you don't feel so led, if you don't feel that you need to or ought to speak as Isaiah spoke. I'd be very concerned about that. I believe it's for every one of us. But we're not going to do some corporate response. We're not all going to come forward. Just in this moment, in your own heart, in your own mind, if you want to vocalize it, if you want to speak it verbally, just those three simple words, here am I. Here am I. Here am I. And God, as pastor, leader of this church, I speak those same words for this church family. Here we are. Here we are. God, send us. You don't have to look any further. We'll do it. We'll go. We'll help. We'll serve. Here we are. Pray this morning that all of us, afresh and anew, commit our lives to serving Him, obeying Him, trusting Him, chasing Him, and knowing Him as well. I pray the Lord's blessing over you today. Would you stand to receive that as we conclude this morning? Would you extend your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord today? I pray it over you, declare it over you. I speak it over you. The Lord be gracious to you, good to you, make His face shine upon you, turn to you and bless you. I speak it in the name of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. and then the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name. Would you receive that by saying amen this morning? Amen and amen.